Tar Heel Station.
Japan awaits word on fate of hostages held by ISIS.
Junko Ishido begged for the release of her son.
Yemen's sudden power shift.
The U.S. is reducing its embassy staff there.
The measles outbreak.
More people at risk than previously thought.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. Prayers at a Tokyo mosque on deadline day for two Japanese hostages held by ISIS terrorists. They've threatened to kill them and are demanding a $200 million ransom. The mother of one of them made a last-ditch appeal.
I would like to say to all the members of the Islamic State, Kenji is not the enemy of Islamic State.
Militants linked to ISIS posted an online warning today saying the countdown has begun. CBS's Lucy Kraft is in Tokyo.
Japanese officials say they have tried to communicate with the Islamic State terrorist group via a variety of official and informal channels, including social media, but all appeals seem to have been ignored. With Tokyo refusing to pay the $200 million ransom demanded by the terrorist group, hopes are fading for the two hostages.
One of Washington's allies in the war on terror died yesterday. Saudi Arabia's King Abdullah was 90 years old. CBS's Margaret Brennan at the State Department.
He had historic outreach to Israel, and he also nudged along women's rights. He allowed them to vote in local elections. He opened up limited job and educational opportunities to them, though he fell short of a promise to allow them to drive. But all of these nudging along small steps were big for Saudi Arabia, which remains very conservative.
Allahu Akbar.
The king's funeral is underway in Saudi Arabia. His half-brother, Crown Prince Salman, is now king. He says he plans to continue King Abdullah's policies. Shiite rebels in Yemen have called for mass rallies a day after the president and his cabinet resigned. CBS's Cammie McCormick says the government had been cooperating with the U.S. in battling al-Qaeda.
The U.S. has further reduced its staff at the embassy in Yemen, and the State Department says it continues to watch the situation, which it calls troubling. A statement late last night said it is critical that all sides avoid violence. But the Obama administration also says the fight against al-Qaeda's Yemen-based affiliate remains a top priority, and counterterrorism cooperation will continue.
Here at home, a 19-year-old Denver woman will be sentenced today. She's pleaded guilty to trying to help ISIS fighters and could get up to 5 years in prison. Shannon Connolly was arrested last April trying to board a flight. She said she was trying to get to Syria. 2 days of historic talks between the United States and Cuba as the two nations work to restore diplomatic ties. CBS's Manuel Bojorquez is in Havana.
Both sides have emerged saying we feel that there was some productivity here. We feel that we came to agreements basically on terms to say we should move forward, and we'll determine when we'll do that.
Now the latest on the measles outbreak. Turns out more people may have been exposed at Southern California Disney parks than first thought. Live to CBS's Barry Bagnato.
Infected employees and visitors were at Disneyland longer than previously believed. There are now about 75 confirmed cases in 6 states, and more than 30 infants, including Jennifer Simon's 6-month-old daughter, are quarantined at home after being exposed at an Oakland, California hospital to an infected child linked to the Disneyland outbreak, a child left unvaccinated.
People say that it's a personal choice, but it's a personal choice with a lot of possibly catastrophic consequences.
NIH infectious diseases expert Dr. Anthony Fauci tells CBS this morning,
you have one of the top two most contagious viruses, and you have an extraordinarily effective vaccine.
Live in Washington, Barry Bagnato, CBS News.
It's the World News Roundup, and it's 4 minutes after the hour.
This morning on WCHL, another lawsuit has been filed alleging that UNC did not provide a proper education to its student athletes.
The named plaintiffs are Rashonda McCann, played on the women's basketball team, and Devin Ramsey, who played on the UNC football team.
Officials with the Chapel Hill Cover City Schools want to move away from longevity bonuses for teachers to a pay scale that rewards professional development. And about 1,350 gallons of untreated sewage spilled into a tributary, the Eno River, on Tuesday of this week. Hillsborough officials say garbage was to blame. Those stories and more, plus your Chapel Hill Cover of traffic and weather together. And WCHL Championship Sports, the number 12-ranked North Carolina women's basketball team, edged North Carolina State last night, 67-63. It's a big night for high school basketball.
And could the latest lawsuit against UNC and the NCAA be good for Carolina?
That's coming up this morning in Art Chansky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
8:05, temperatures up to 37 degrees this morning in Chapel Hill, and then temperatures are going to stay there pretty much all day. Our high today in the upper 30s, so a much cooler day. There is a possibility of some rain, probably in the afternoon. Tonight also could be rainy, near steady temperatures, upper 30s overnight. And then tomorrow, rain likely, or possible at least, in the morning. High tomorrow in the low 50s. We'll be up in the low 40s tomorrow. We'll be up in the 50s on Sunday. There's another lawsuit that's been filed alleging that the university did not provide a proper college education to its student-athletes. A class-action lawsuit filed in Durham County yesterday. WCHL's Blake Hodge spoke with attorney Bob Orr, who filed that suit.
Who is actually listed as the plaintiffs on this lawsuit?
The two named plaintiffs and representatives of the class are two former UNC athletes, Rashonda McCants, who played on the women's basketball team, and Devin Ramsey, who played on the UNC football team.
And what are they seeking out of this lawsuit?
Well, the class action is against the NCAA and UNC, and it involves, of course, the failure of both the NCAA and UNC to deliver the commitment to a legitimate college education, which was breached through these, you know, they've been referred to as paper courses, but they're courses that there was no faculty involvement and that a number of athletes were put in, could be one class, could be a half dozen class, depending, but they're representatives of the class, and the class alleged in the complaint are all UNC football and men's and women's basketball players who took these academically unsound courses.
And are they alleging that they weren't given an opportunity to receive that education? I know that was listed going forward, that everyone received that education, or that they were receiving poor guidance along the way?
Well, I think the allegation, again, this is class action, and not limited to the experience necessarily of either of the two named plaintiffs, but it's that systematically the class, as defined, was put into these classes that if the accreditation authorities reviewed them would say these don't count as college class. There was no faculty involvement at the beginning. There was no faculty involvement during the course of the so-called class. There was no faculty involvement at the conclusion. And the allegations are that the class, you know, received less than what they bargained for when they became scholarship athletes at UNC, and that the NCAA was complicit in this system in a wide variety of ways that promotes, facilitates, encourages the kind of academic misconduct that took place at UNC and, as the complaint points out, has taken place at schools all around the country.
So are any representatives in this from other schools, since you were bringing up the NCAA there?
Right. Well, there are no other individual schools listed in the complaint, but the NCAA, of course, is a membership association, and all of the major other colleges are members of it. So while the lawsuit and the particular class is alleged at UNC is limited to the circumstances at Carolina, the complaint against the NCAA obviously has broader implications educationally, in that they have the responsibility for the duty to protect and make sure that its member institutions are fulfilling the promise and obligation to the young men and women who are making hundreds of millions of dollars, you know, for the NCAA and the member institutions, ostensibly in exchange for a real college education.
And what would be, I guess, the stated goal of this lawsuit? What's the end game that they're ultimately hoping for here to put guidelines in place?
Well, I think, one, you look at the immediate class, all of those young men and women that were put in or took these non-accredited classes, that, you know, they need to be compensated in some form or fashion for being deprived of that portion of an opportunity for a real college education.
That is Attorney Bob Orr speaking with WCHL's Blake Hodges. There's a lot more to that conversation. You can get it on our website at chapelboro.com. The full UNC Board of Trustees got together yesterday at the Carolina Inn as part of the consent agenda at that meeting, designed to improve pedestrian, bicycle, and vehicular access from Franklin Street to Cameron Avenue, was presented for approval. As a result of the design, there would be 16 parking spaces lost in that immediate area. Board member Steve Lerner says that another issue caused concern during the committee discussion on that project.
We are going to close off the Franklin Street entrance to Portal Alley, and we're going to move that to an entrance or an entrance and exit off Columbia Street. There was concern that this caused further piles in a busy intersection.
Committee member Sally Shuping Russell was the only member to be opposed to the approval, saying she's concerned about the close proximity of major intersections.
My opposition to this probably on all the MQA, which I feel like we're too close to the Franklin Street and Columbia intersection, and was hoping that we could move it back to the middle of the block.
Lerner also says they will continue to solicit input as progress is made on the development in the case an issue is found. WCHL's Blake Hodge was there, of course, and able to catch up with UNC Chancellor Carol Folt right after the meeting. You'll be able to hear portions of their conversation in the next few days on WCHL. Very important Chapel Hill Town Council meeting last night. The council is considering options for redeveloping the park and ride lot at Southern Village just south of town. Town Council hired a consultant to help plan the future of the town-owned 8.5-acre lot. WCHL's Jagmeet Mack has more from last night's meeting.
Victor Dover, the consultant from the planning firm Dover Colin Partners, facilitated the discussion at Thursday night's meeting. He said a park and ride lot functions this way.
Capturing an outer catchment or cloud of suburban drivers and hoping that we'll intercept them so that they don't ask us to store their big, expensive, space-consuming car in the center of town or on campus or at the Research Triangle where we don't have room for them, and instead store them somewhere on the edge of the town, use transit for the rest of their trip. That's the logic of the park and ride. Apart from the $2 that they pay to park in the park and ride, which barely helps with recovering any costs, they're not contributing economically to that place.
Dover said putting shops between the parking space and the bus stop might entice drivers to spend money locally. Dover listed several scenarios to start the conversation about the park and ride lot. One scenario has surface parking with a few mixed-use buildings. Another scenario includes a parking structure, several mixed-use buildings, an access lane with on-street parking and civic buildings. Southern area resident Gene Brown offered suggestions to the council as they consider the future of the park and ride lot.
Please make sure that your planning can be proactive, not reactive, to what is being proposed across the road.
Council members are considering redevelopment as they negotiate with East-West Partners, the future developer of the privately owned 120-acre property across the highway. This is the Obie Creek site, proposed as a residential, retail, and office development of up to 1.6 million square feet.
The time from 1:30 to 3 o'clock really is designed explicitly for the community.
That's correct.
So it's not just you can come, please come.
That's Council Member Jim Ward encouraging people to come to Chapel Hill Town Hall for Friday's 1:30 p.m. meeting facilitated by Dover. The town hall address is 405 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. At a 4 p.m. meeting, council members will discuss the park and ride lot and Obie Creek with Dover and the developer. Jagmeet Mack, 97.9 FM. WCHL.
About 1,350 gallons of untreated sewage spilled into a tributary of the Eno River earlier this week, and officials in Hillsboro say garbage was to blame. A pipe near Bellevue Street became partially blocked by debris, causing the sewage to overflow into a creek behind Southern Seasons Warehouse. That creek runs into the Eno River. When employees from the Hillsborough Utilities Department came out to clear the blockage, they reported finding numerous plastic forks, knives, and spoons clogging the pipe. Town officials say the majority of wastewater spills are caused by residents who improperly dispose of fats, oils, or garbage by putting them down the drain. The town has notified the North Carolina Department of Environment and Natural Resources about the spill. Town employees also spread hydrated lime at the site to reduce odors and to disinfect the soil. WSHL News Time is 8:15. Coming up next, we'll tell you about Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools teacher pay. The controversy about that right now, in addition to all the frustrations that people are experiencing with the General Assembly and funding for education. That is on the way. Time now for Traffic and Weather Together, and traffic brought to you this morning by the Orange County Agricultural Summit. Here's Nikki Morse.
Got an accident 40 east at the Durham Freeway. It's off on the shoulder, but it's causing delays that start just before 751. Fordham Boulevard, heavily traveled both directions as you make your way towards Manning Drive. 54 eastbound also crowded in spots from Fordham Boulevard if you're heading to I-40. If you see anything while traveling, be a WCHL Road Warrior. Call us at 967-8363 or safely tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro.
That's your latest report on planes, trains, and automobiles.
Yes.
In the Chapel Hill Carborough community and all over the triangle this morning. Thank you, Nikki.
You're welcome.
Orange County Agricultural Summit is coming up, the 17th annual event. It'll be held February 16th, 2 days after Valentine's Day, from 8 in the morning until 1 in the afternoon. To register, visit orangecountync.gov. Now, your Chapel Hill Carborough weather brought to you by the Chapel Hill Carborough Chamber of Commerce. 35 degrees, cloudy, rain possible in the afternoon. Much cooler temperatures today. Our high today in the upper 30s. I said 35 just a moment ago. It's actually warmed up to 37, and our temperatures are going to stay pretty much there all day long. And that'll go for tonight as well. Tonight could be rainy, near steady temperatures in the upper 30s. On Saturday, rain is possible probably in the morning, and then clearing up gradually. High tomorrow in the low 40s. Saturday night should be clear but cold with a low in the low 30s, and then on Sunday partly sunny, a little nicer day with a high in the low 50s on Sunday.
This is Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station, WCHL. Now, here's Ron Stutz.
WCHL News Time is 8:17. Officials with the Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools want to move away from longevity bonuses for teachers to a pay scale that rewards professional development. While that might mean more money for some educators, it could come at a cost to others. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has details.
Some will be very upset, and yet I think it's the best thing to do in the long term for teachers, so that you don't have to go be an assistant principal in order to make more money.
That's Chapel Hill Carborough School Board member James Etta Bedford speaking at a board meeting last week. Last year, the North Carolina General Assembly passed a budget that requires school systems to submit a plan for differentiated teacher pay. Chapel Hill Carborough officials say they want to make sure the pay plan the district adopts will support the progress of all teachers, not just the top performers. Board Chair Mike Kelly said the plan under consideration now meets that goal.
A possible alternative that the state legislature could impose upon us might look very ugly. This, to me, seems like it's homegrown. It comes from our professionals, and it's been developed and thought out in a way which is very careful, deliberative, and not reactionary.
A committee of teachers, staffers, and advisors from UNC School of Education recently sat down to evaluate options for reconfiguring teacher pay. They came up with a plan in which teachers would earn points for participating in professional development and get credit for rising student test scores. These points would then translate into salary increases. But this could mean those teachers who don't invest in professional development might lose out on potential pay raises, as longevity bonuses would no longer be guaranteed. Still, given that many teachers have seen their compensation levels frozen for years, Assistant Superintendent Todd LaFreeze said the new plan might be better than the status quo.
Their current reality is they've been standstill for 6-7 years, and now the new model that the state has in terms of the salary schedule shows that raises only come every 5 years. So we're trying to change that, and we think that this is a positive step in that direction.
Forsella told the board last week the full financial details are not yet available, but administrators want to make sure it doesn't cost the district more or cause those currently employed as teachers to lose ground. Kelly warned it might be tough to do both.
Unless there's new money for salaries, and that would probably have to come from the state in some fashion, because it's probably not likely going to come from the district, then there may have to be some redistribution of the funds that are available.
The school board will discuss the plan further at the district's planning retreat in February. Administrators will present a final proposal to the board in March. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Time now for WCHL Championship Sports. I'm Rod Stutz. Brittany Roundtree saved the night last night. She was 8-for-8 at the free throw line in the final 24 seconds as number 12 North Carolina edged North Carolina State 67-63. That was a 100th meeting between these two old ACC rivals. And Tar Heels are now 17-3 overall, 4-2 in the ACC. The Wolfpack has won 51 times now in this rivalry, 49 wins for Carolina in that stretch, but this was the 8th straight win for the Carolina women. So close one last night. Tar Heels trailed at halftime but came back to win. Tonight in our WCHL High School Hoops Game of the Week, it's 9-5 Chapel Hill High School visiting a 7-10 Northwood team that's looking to recover from a couple of tough back-to-back losses off to quite a start. Tigers won 7 of their last 9. They are 4-2 in Big 8 conference play. Above the Rim with Matt and Adam kicks off our coverage on WCHL at 6:30, previewing all the area action of the Hardwoods. The game starts immediately after 7 with Paul Connell and Adam Moore on the live play-by-play. The number 15-ranked North Carolina men return to the Smith Center on Sunday for a 2 p.m. tip-off with Florida State. Florida State's coming in with kind of a mediocre record. They're 10-9 of the season, but they have some momentum. They just defeated Clemson early this week at Little John Coliseum. WCHL's Matt Oakes has a preview.
There are mixed reviews for the Tar Heels. Carolina has won 4 straight in conference play and is coming off an impressive performance at Wake Forest, where the game was never in doubt. But the injury bug has hit. Exactly who will be available for active duty Saturday remains a mystery. Nate Britt and Theo Pinson are just the latest duo in a discouragingly long line of Tar Heels getting banged up. Coach Williams says the health of his players is even cutting into valuable practice time.
The only reason I'm hesitating is we haven't had very many practices recently. I mean, you know, for very long periods of time, because we've been trying to milk minutes for Marcus, and Joel Berry's not out there, and Luke and Stillman. I mean, Nate's the only healthy point guard, and he got beat up tonight.
But back on the court, Wednesday night's road effort in Winston-Salem showcased a renewed commitment to aggression in the paint. Coach Williams says not much has changed since his prediction in the preseason. If the Tar Heels want to be a championship-caliber basketball team, the big guys are going to have to do the heavy lifting.
I said we didn't have a summer press conference, is that right? The first press conference we had, that our team, the biggest thing is a couple of big guys had to step up and be big-time players. And I'll still say that right now, because from the perimeter, we're okay. You know, Marcus hadn't played the way that I want him to play or the way he wants to play. But if the big guys give us those kind of numbers, that's pretty doggone good.
Well, Tar Heels will take on Florida State at 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon in the Smith Center. Good to be back at home. 8:22 at WCHL. Barry Jacobs, well-known as an ACC basketball guru about a lot of other things, too, joins us now. And, Barry, first of all, it's been kind of an exciting season so far for Carolina, don't you think?
Yeah, all sorts of things on and off the court. It's very exciting. And this team, as we have said in our previous discussions, is growing before our eyes. And even though some people were ready to panic early on, it would appear that we're starting to see a team that is consistently not yet excellent, but it's very good.
The only problem is something. It's time for something that hits a lot of teams this time of the year. Tar Heels are really starting to have some problems with injuries, and we've got a very deep basketball team, thank goodness, because a lot of guys are hurting right now.
Well, Roy Williams went out of his way to tell us that he was going to never be running out of point guards, because after the experience that UNC had when they were in the NCAA tournament and they had their best point guard go out, then their second best point guard go out, and then they were Stillman White, who's certainly a competent player, wound up being their point guard against Kansas. He had 4 point guards this year, and now he's down to 1 and 1 walking wounded in Marcus Page, who's still, over the last 4 games, had not only is he a scorer, but he's had 2 assists for every turnover.
Well, Marcus is really starting to come on and shoot like the Marcus Page that we've known all along. But some of the Tar Heel big men are really stepping up, and I think that's made a big difference.
Well, people reach these group conclusions. One of the conclusions is that, the three-point shot is it, and that basketball nowadays starts from the outside working in, and that why hasn't Roy Williams recruited more outside shooters? Well, Roy Williams, like the man who taught him, Dean Smith, believes that you start from the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have good big men, it works. As long as you have some threats on the perimeter, and I think that's part of where this team is still developing, and I think we're seeing Justin Jackson start to hit some shots. He's made three of his last eight three-pointers, which is a good percentage. But that makes those big guys more effective. And Carolina has as good a set of big guys as anybody in the ACC, and they're starting to learn to use that to their advantage.
Well, one final question for you this morning, Barry. You know, there are no givens in ACC basketball, and I think college basketball in general, everybody was talking about what a wonderful team Duke had, and then they lost consecutive games to North Carolina State and Miami. I mean, Kentucky's had all these, in spite of all its talent, they've had all these really close encounters. You know, I think that's going to shape the rest of this ACC race, and bottom line is we don't really know what's going to happen.
No, we all thought that, you know, Louisville was this great monster that was lurking on the horizon, and wow, wait till they came here, and they're pretty mortal. Notre Dame, which was bad last year, is 18-2. As you said, Duke, that people were saying, wow, this team's going straight to the Final Four. They're having to relearn how to play as a unit, how to have their offense and defense balance in a way that doesn't make them vulnerable. I think it's been a very entertaining year, just when NC State, as you said, just when NC State looked like, wow, they're really good, they lost to Miami,
yeah,
which was, for some of us, the surprise, the team we picked to be a surprise. And then they dropped a bunch of games, and it was like, oh, well, missed on that one, and now they're back again.
Well, we've said this before, but the bottom line is, you know, the games aren't played on paper. That's why they actually play the games, and that's why we all enjoy watching them so much. Barry, yeah, always enjoy talking to you.
Okay, well, likewise, Ron, and maybe we'll see you on Saturday at the Smith Center.
You never know. Barry Jacobs on WCHL. It's 827. I'm Ron Stutz.
Our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Could the latest lawsuit against UNC and the NCAA be good for Carolina? This is Art Chansky with Friday Sports Notebook. The Weinstein Report continues to be the gift that keeps on giving for those who seek widespread college athletic reform. The suit filed by former UNC athletes Rashawn McCants and Devin Ramsey aims to become a major class action against the NCAA, using the ongoing scandal at UNC as the linchpin for proving that academic fraud is as much a part of college athletics as touchdowns and baskets. Former ACC Player of the Year in women's basketball, McCants is the sister of Rashad McCants, the men's hoopster who has already tried to stick it to Roy Williams' program. And Ramsey is perhaps the prime example of how the UNC administration jumped to suspend the wrong football players in the summer of 2010. The suit hopes to enlist other athletes who took other classes that were so easy they were fraudulent because they allegedly cheated the scholarship jocks out of the education they were promised when they signed. In the past, this has been difficult to prove, and in fact, such prior individual lawsuits have all been dismissed in court, including the one filed by former Tar Heel football player Michael McAdoo. The breaching of such an agreement between the NCAA and numerous athletes could be egregious enough in a class action lawsuit to avoid dismissal and get to the discovery phase, where schools would then be forced to give up correspondence between academic departments and athletics. This, of course, was at the heart of the Weinstein Report, which was commissioned by the university to end this mess. Instead, it has fanned the flames into litigation that could go on for years. But there is one aspect of it that could help UNC in its ongoing and second probe by the NCAA. Now, as a co-defendant with the school it is investigating, the NCAA will be incentivized not to find academic fraud among the athletes at Carolina, because it will only weaken its position in the big case. Already on thin ice and in jeopardy of collapsing and being replaced by a different structure to run college athletics, the NCAA may not want to use UNC to tighten the noose around its own neck. If that turns out to be true, it will be the only good thing that will have come from the ill-advised Weinstein Report. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
Make this the
the most romantic Valentine's Day yet by securing a stay at the Carolina Inn February 13th through the 15th. Receive rates starting at $149 per night, including a breakfast buffet for two. And upon check-in, a bottle of chilled Prosecco will be waiting for you. You can add to the romance by enjoying an exceptional four-course meal at Carolina Crossroads. Dinner includes a rose for your one and only to make the evening complete at $75 per person. Visit us online at carolinainn.com and use promo code LOVE to reserve your Valentine's Day weekend at the Carolina Inn. Why pay for dental benefits if you're not going to use them? It's time to schedule now to get your maximum benefits met by year's end. The Kennedy Dental Group, one of the few practices in Chapel Hill that files all claims from their office at 1721 East Franklin Street. Consistently rated among the best practices in the Triangle, the Kennedy Dental Group continues to be on the cutting edge of family dentistry while emphasizing the utmost in customer care. Call for an appointment at 919-967-9291 or go to kennedydentalgroup.com.
Meet the brokers at Weaver Street Realty. Bill Mullen and Don Bassnight are both native Chapel Hillians who have seen our town through a half century of change. Louise Barnum moves easily from muddy boots to city shoes in her pursuit to meet her clients' needs. Jay Parker is the broker in charge, having developed a loyal client base over 30 years. Gary Phillips and Clayton Nell are the oldest and youngest members of the team, combining experience and intelligence for a fresh perspective. And Crystal Fisher is the savvy specialist for first home buyers. Check them all out at WeaverStreetRealty.com.
The job market can be tough. It's time to show the business world that you're tougher. Durham Tech can help you build your resume with skills designed for the global economy. You'll learn what works in areas from healthcare, computer science, and foreign languages to biotechnology, construction, and real estate. Classes are taught throughout Durham and Orange counties, many in the evenings and on weekends. Visit durhamtech.edu to learn more and get ready to do great things.
This is Dr. Adam Goldstein with the University of North Carolina Department of Family Medicine and Your Health Radio. Do you need help to understand health insurance on the marketplace? Join us at a free event on Saturday, February 7th, 9 o'clock to 3 p.m. at the University of North Carolina General Internal Medicine Department, 102 Mason Farm Road, Chapel Hill, where you can discuss your questions with the counselor. Call 919-966-2276, extension 238 for details. The number again is 919-966-2276, extension 238.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather, well, kind of cool today. Our high today only in the upper 30s. That's going to be about it. 37 degrees right now. Cloudy skies all day. Big chance of rain in the afternoon. Tonight, the temperatures will hold steady in the upper 30s, and it could be a rainy night. Tomorrow, rain likely, especially early in the morning. Our high tomorrow in the low 40s. Tomorrow night, it'll clear up, and it'll still be cold with the lows in the low 30s. And on Sunday, a little bit better. Partly sunny, not as cool, with a high in the low 50s.
97.9 FM, WCHL, is Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. And streaming live 24-7 at chapelborough.com. There's an app for that.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
WCHL News, Talk, and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
37 degrees in Chapel Hill, 36 this morning in Carborough, also 36 in Hillsboro. I'm Rod Stutz. Another lawsuit has been filed now alleging that the university did not provide a proper college education to its student athletes. A class action lawsuit has been filed in Durham County on Thursday afternoon. WCHL's Blake Hodge caught up with a lawyer involved in this, attorney Bob Orr.
Who is actually listed as the plaintiffs on this lawsuit?
The two named plaintiffs and representatives of the class are two former UNC athletes, Rashonda McCants, who played on the women's basketball team, and Devin Ramsey, who played on the UNC football team.
And what are they seeking out of this lawsuit?
Well, the class action is against the NCAA and UNC, and it involves, of course, the failure of both the NCAA and UNC to deliver the commitment to a legitimate college education, which was breached through these, you know, they've been referred to as paper courses, but they're courses that there was no faculty involvement and that a number of athletes were put in. Could be one class, could be a half dozen class, depending. But their representatives, the class. And the class alleged in the complaint are all UNC football and men's and women's basketball players who took these academically unsound courses.
And are they alleging that they weren't given an opportunity to receive that education? I know that was listed going forward, that everyone received that education, or that they were receiving poor guidance along the way?
Well, I think the allegation, again, this is class action and not limited to the experience necessarily of either of the two named plaintiffs, but it's that systematically the class, as defined, was put into these classes that if the accreditation authorities reviewed them would say these don't count as college class. There was no faculty involvement at the beginning. There was no faculty involvement during the course of the so-called class. There was no faculty involvement at the conclusion. And the allegations are that the class, you know, received less than what they bargained for when they became scholarship athletes at UNC, and that the NCAA was complicit in this system in a wide variety of ways.
There's a lot more to that conversation with attorney Bob Orr, speaking with WCHL's Blake Hodge. You can hear it on our website at chapelboro.com. Check for this story there. You know, you may not become the next Eddie Van Halen or Stevie Ray Vaughan or Jimmy Page in one night, but if you head to the Carrboro Arts Center this weekend, you can learn more about finger-picking techniques on the guitar from a resident artist. That is to some of the instrumental work of Daniel Bachman, who will hold a folk guitar workshop at the Arts Center on Saturday. He's also going to perform on Saturday night at 9 o'clock alongside Jenks Miller and Rose Cross, North Carolina. Among the things that Bachman will discuss with Miller will be their respective influences.
I'm going to be trying to talk with Jenks about the different techniques and styles that I've spent a lot of time trying to learn. And the guys that I learned stuff from and stole stuff from, and the stuff that they stole stuff from, and, you know, and, you know, just taking it back all the way to the beginning.
Ironically, Bachman didn't grow up wanting to be a guitar player at all. He was playing the banjo, and that was his first love, but then he learned about the similarities between guitar and banjo. He's a native of Frederick, Maryland, who recently moved to Durham after spending many years in Philadelphia. Now he calls North Carolina home. He says he made that decision to move here because of playing shows in the Tar Heel State. It's the first of many masterclass workshops coming to the Arts Center in Carrboro. You can find out more about the workshops online at artscenteredlive.org. Governor Pat McCrory says he's working on a new economic development strategy for North Carolina, although it's too early to release any details about the plan. At a news conference on Thursday for the opening of the Economic Development Partnership of North Carolina, the governor said he's working with legislators on a plan called North Carolina Competes. He says that if North Carolina wants to compete with other southeastern states for companies, then he must have a firm strategy that can be communicated. McCrory and lawmakers in Raleigh created a partnership to take over corporate recruitment efforts previously housed in the State Commerce Department. It began operating this past October. The partnership's new chief executive officer is Chris Chung. Chung says economic development and job creation are too important for either the public or private sector to handle alone. WCHL News Time, 8:38. Coming up next, the Raging Grannies with Vicki Ryder have today's commentary on WCHL. There are many reasons people sell gold and silver to Jewel Recycle in University Mall. Inheritance of unwanted jewelry and flatware, gifts from the ex, downsizing, or just for a little extra cash. But did you know the manufacturer of an average gold ring creates more than 20 tons of mining waste? Selling unused jewelry is the green thing to do. Jewel Recycle in University Mall is the Triangle's top gold buyer. Visit them for a no-obligation, generous offer. Also on the web at jewelrecycle.com.
chapelhill.com.
Where can kids like me go to learn new skills, make friends, and have fun?
Chapel Hill Gymnastics, the community's largest gymnastics facility, offering tumbling, trampoline, summer camps, birthday parties, gymnastics classes for boys and girls ages 1 year and up, and more. The structured classes and energetic atmosphere motivate gymnasts to achieve personal goals in the sport of gymnastics. Call 919-942-3655 or visit chapelhillgymnastics.com.
Chapel Hill Gymnastics, the fun place to learn and grow.
As bright fall days slide into frosty winter nights, the good cooking at Glass Half Full Restaurant and Wine Bar will warm your soul. How about a bowl of savory lentil soup to chase the chill? Freshly rolled beet pasta makes splendid lasagna. Does duck confit or braised lamb shank with root vegetables pair nicely with a glass of assertive red wine? Cold weather makes me hungry. Come to Glass Half Full in downtown Carrboro for lunch or dinner and see what's cooking now.
And one and two.
Meet Samaya. She may seem like an ordinary four-year-old budding ballerina, but she's a champion at heart. Samaya was diagnosed with congestive heart failure at 4 months old. That's when UNC Children stepped in with a life-saving transplant she needed. As a leading children's hospital in the Southeast, we provide care for future champions of all ages, like Samaya, so she can get back to dancing, and we can say we knew her when. Visit unccchildrens.org.
Crown Honda of South Point is starting off the year right with a resolution to reduce inventory. We'll do whatever it takes to make you a great deal during our inventory reduction sale. Get a new 2015 Honda Pilot for just $320 a month with zero due-in signing. Or drive a new 2015 Honda Accord for only $199 a month. Our loss is your gain during the inventory reduction sale. On now at Crown Honda of South Point on South Point Auto Park Boulevard and southpointhonda.com. Subject to credit approval. Excludes taxes, tags, and fees. See dealer for complete lease details.
Hello, this is Eric Montross, and you're listening to the WCHL Morning News with Ron Stutz.
All right, thank you, Eric. It's 8:41, and we have 37 degrees in Chapel Hill.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager, Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill.
All right, you're going to hear from Gerald coming up in just a few moments. He has today's WCHL Hometown Hero, but now, the Raging Grannies.
And now, WCHL presents the Commentators.
This is Vicki Ryder. As a grandmother, I wouldn't dream of giving my grandchildren water laced with arsenic and other deadly poisons, but that's exactly what I'd be doing if fracking comes to North Carolina. The politicians making life and death decisions for us in Raleigh voted to allow fracking before any guidelines were set in place to make it less dangerous. I say less dangerous, not safe, because there is no way to make fracking safe. When they lifted the moratorium, Tillis and McCrory promised to wait until safety rules were set. Now, they not only broke that promise, but passed laws making it a crime to reveal what toxins will be pumped into the ground and illegal for towns like Chapel Hill to keep frackers and their poisonous waste out. A recent study by two leading research centers has linked an alarming increase in birth defects to fracking. Don't let that happen here. You can have a say in our children's futures by sending your thoughts to the Oil and Gas Program Division of Energy, Mineral, and Land Resources, 1612 Mail Services Center, Raleigh, 27699. Don't hold back. The Raging Grannies don't. They say, by the light,
not the dark, but the light,
of their poisonous waste,
oh, haste makes waste,
those fracking guys,
we despise,
want to profit from drilling down. We'll all see,
all of us, you and me,
mutant beings galore,
oh, no such gore,
five legs, four arms, three lips, such harm will be coming to town if we don't stop them now. This is Vicki Ryder.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
For years, the brokers at Weaver Street Realty were known as the Muddy Boots Land Team. They still call themselves that. They can read surveys. They know septics. They know wells. Whether it's an in-town lot or a 100-acre tract, they will put on their muddy boots and walk land with you through an unmatched level of expertise and service. The Weaver Street team has earned customers for life through repeat business and referrals. They listen with compassion and act with confidence. Stop by on Main Street in Carrboro or check them out at weaverstreetrealty.com.
This is Dr. Adam Goldstein with Your Health Radio and the University of North Carolina Department of Family Medicine. Do you need help to understand health insurance on the marketplace? Join us at a free event on Saturday, January 17th, 10 o'clock to 3 p.m. at the University of North Carolina Family Medicine Center, 590 Manning Drive in Chapel Hill, where you can discuss your questions with a counselor. Call 919-545-3440 for details. The number again is 919-545-3440.
There are many reasons people sell gold and silver to Jewel Recycle in University Mall. Inheritance of unwanted jewelry and flatware, gifts from the ex, downsizing, or just for a little extra cash. But did you know the manufacturer of an average gold ring creates more than 20 tons of mining waste? Selling unused jewelry is the green thing to do. Jewel Recycle in University Mall is the Triangle's top gold buyer. Visit them for a no-obligation, generous offer. Also on the web at jewelrecycle.com.
Time again for your traffic and weather together on WCHL. And this traffic report is brought to you by Cruisers, where you can be good to go. Here is Nikki Morse with a look at the roadways.
Thanks, Ron. Looks like still have some delays associated with an accident. 40 East at the Durham Freeway. It's off on the shoulder, but those delays now starting right around Highway 54. Fordham Boulevard still seeing some heavy congestion in spots as you travel northbound, approaching Highway 54 and 54 East as well, crowded in spots from Fordham Boulevard heading to 40. If you see anything while traveling, you can be a WCHL Red Warrior. Call us at 967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro.
Well, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Hey, it's been fun this morning, and we'll listen for your news updates throughout the day on WCHL, the bottom of the hour.
Have a wonderful weekend.
Oh, man, I hope so. I'm just, thank goodness that it's Friday.
Woohoo! This Friday.
This week has lasted a month.
It's over. It's over.
I don't want to work. I just want to bang on this drum all day.
Woo. Yeah, that's the weekend.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Nikki Morse, everybody. And time now for your, well, first of all, a word from Cruisers. Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. We talk about their coffee all the time, but also they serve fountain drink perfection daily, made with 100% filtered water, served at 34 degrees over their famous chewy ice. Guaranteed to taste great. Not a day goes by that I don't go by there and get one. Cruisers. Good to go. Now, your Chapel Hill Carborough weather brought to you this morning by Grimble Jewelers. Berkeley Grimble is a guy to see over there. 37 degrees right now, cloudy skies, rain likely in the afternoon, much cooler, high today only in the upper 30s, which means it's going to stay about where it is right now. Tonight, temperatures will remain steady, and it could be a rainy night. Tomorrow, rain likely early in the morning at least, high tomorrow in the low 40s. Clearing up by Saturday night and cold with a low in the low 30s again. And on Sunday, partly sunny, not as cool with a high in the low 50s. So a little bit warmer by the end of the weekend. Go see Berkeley Grimble. Have too much fun at Grimble Jewelers. They're always there for you. Grimble's is Chapel Hill's premier full-service jeweler in the Village Plaza on Elliott Road, right next to Whole Foods.
This is Jeff Rubish. Did you know that outdoor grilling causes 19,000 emergency room visits and 8,000 house fires a year? Make sure your grill is a safe distance from your home and not under overhanging branches. Check your gas tank regularly for cracks and your hoses for leaks or sharp bends. Place your grill in an open area or patio and not on a deck, a porch, or inside the garage. And always have a fire extinguisher handy. Call my office at 913-1144 to schedule a complete review of your insurance. This is Jeff Rubish. Did you know?
Beethoven, what's wrong?
Ah, I'm trying to compose my ode to joy, but how can I be joyous when I'm so hungry?
Why don't you try Bread Mints? They've got everything from sandwiches to scrambled eggs. It's my favorite spot in town.
Gott in Himmel, that's it! Breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily. Lots of food, not much to pay. Go to Bread Mints, come to Bread Mints. Eat at Bread Mints every day.
Bread Mints Restaurant, a Chapel Hill tradition.
You're a genius, Beethoven.
Donkey shade.
This is Kit Ballou of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Sammy Martin. Kit, it's clear to us that buyers benefit from having their own agent, whether a first-time buyer or someone who has done it numerous times. Agents at Franklin Street bring an uncommon body of knowledge and experience to the table.
Finding the right home can be easy or it can be torturous. Getting from contract to actually owning requires tenacity and a clear head. Emotions can run really high during the process on both sides.
People can get really uptight about money, and in our market, we're talking a lot of it. 1 or 2% of the price can be thousands of dollars. We are really good at keeping the numbers in perspective. And negotiating the purchase price is probably the easiest part of the whole thing.
No kidding. Due diligence, inspections and repairs, low appraisals and other loan problems, and the resultant delays in closing. Did we mention that emotions on both sides can make these issues seem insurmountable?
That's why we're here. Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else?
Find us on the web at franklinstreetrealty.com or on the phone at 929-7174.
This is Roy Williams, and thanks, Ron Stutch. You've done a great job of waking everybody up in Chapel Hill and Carrboro. After you wake them up, you've probably put them to sleep again, but congratulations.
Thanks, Coach, I think. 849 WCHL, good morning.
Now on WCHL, a page from D.G. Martin's notebook.
When Milton Julian died the other day at 96 years of age, we lost another precious personal connection to the village of Chapel Hill as it was in the post-World War II era. Of course, there was Milton's clothing cupboard, but I remember Milton greeting me cheerfully and personally when I moved here about 25 years ago. But I had first heard of Milton Julian many years before that, and it was a part of a story that binds Milton with me and other important people to Chapel Hill, like Dr. W.C. Coker, Bible professor Bernard Boyd, famous architect George Matsumoto, and Senator Sam Ervin. But in 1968, I was a recent law school graduate taking a cram course in Chapel Hill to prepare for the bar exam. And we studied important law cases that set out critical legal rules. And one of those rules is still important for anyone who develops or lives in a subdivision that is subject to restrictive covenants. And I'll tell you about that rule in a minute. But the case was Julian versus Lofton. And that case arose this way. Milton owned a lot on Ledge Lane adjoining Dr. Boyd's house. Dr. Coker had developed these lots and placed restrictive covenants on each one. So Milton hired Matsumoto, the architect, to design a very modern house for him. But the restrictive covenants required all building plans to be approved by Dr. Coker or his representative. And Dr. Coker's representative refused to approve this modern design. Such a modern house wouldn't fit in the neighborhood. Then two things happened. Milton sued to have the restrictive covenant declared invalid, and Dr. Coker died. But finally, the North Carolina Supreme Court agreed with Milton. The judge, writing the opinion, said, and I quote, "It is manifest that this covenant and the similar covenants in the deeds to Dr. Coker's other grantees were designed to make effectual a desire on the part of Dr. Coker that the external appearances of the building on the lots in Rocky Ridge development should harmonize with his aesthetic sense. That being true, the covenant in question was personal to Dr. Coker, and it ended when death put out his candle." So Milton, thanks to the court, could build his house. And it still stands as an important example of Matsumoto's style of post-war modern architecture. So what is Senator Sam Ervin's connection? Well, before becoming a senator, he was a justice on the North Carolina Supreme Court, and he wrote the opinion that allowed Milton to build his house. That opinion is dated June 4th, 1954, Ervin's last day on the court before taking office in the Senate the very next day as a newly appointed U.S. Senator. And what about my connection, other than I remember the case from my student days? Well, my wife and I bought Dr. Boyd's house that adjoins Milton's house and lot, and I get to see that house every day. And I'm also subject to the same restrictive covenants Dr. Coker imposed on Milton. And I've wrestled with their enforceability from time to time. But that's a story for another day. Until then, thanks to Milton Julian for his friendship and for his cheerful sturdiness. This is D.G. Martin.
And Milton was quite a guy. Had the opportunity to know him. Age of 96, he passed away. That's amazing. I remember all those frog stranglers, the big sales they used to have down at Milton's clothing cupboard on East Franklin Street. got to know him that way. It's 8:53 WCHL Friday morning here. And if you remember the word of the day from Wayne Pond, what is the word? How do you spell it? Well, that's a tough one. And what does it mean? Call me right now, 919-929-WCHL, and give me the answers to those questions. And I'll give you a $10 gift certificate to Cruisers.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager, Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
My dad is humbled by this attention that he's been getting since he retired. If it was up to him, no one would have made a big deal of it, but he has honored me, and it's always throughout my life, I wanted to take a chance to honor him. I had no idea, he had no idea, there was going to be a Carver Day for him, and he just couldn't stop smiling for 48 hours. He's just in awe, really, of the community, just talking about him and really celebrating him.
Donnie Pendergrass is today's WCHL hometown hero, and Donnie recently retired from the post office, and we have Donnie's son, Hathaway, with us now. And Hathaway, I know that Donnie is really happy to be retired, and he's kind of relaxing right now, right?
Yeah, enjoying the days now that he can dog sit and just relax the house.
I know that Donnie Pendergrass started working for the United States Postal Service in 1965, and that's a long time to be with any employer.
Oh, yeah. I really don't know many other people who've stayed with one employer for that long.
When you were growing up, I remember you playing rec league baseball and basketball, and I remember your dad was always there. I'm sure that you can probably say that about everything in your life. He's always been there for you.
Well, he worked Monday through Saturday. Usually, he never missed any of my athletic events or anything involved school, and he was always coaching or somewhere involved, and he always has been super supportive. I think the most emotional he ever got was when I got into UNC. He was even more excited than I was, I think.
During all those years, he worked at the post office.
He was a postal carrier his entire career, and his route was everywhere over 47 years. I think he delivered mail to every single mailbox in Carver. Actually walked over a million miles.
That is amazing. Donnie Pendergrass really loved his work. I've heard him say that. What do you think it was that he enjoyed so much about it?
The people, helping people when they had issues either with their mail or making sure that their house was safe when they were out of town.
And when you get somebody who has that kind of longevity in a career, I mean, that really is something to look up to.
I think he's taught many people, especially me, my work ethic. I just looked at him and many days where he would have to go to bed at 8:30 to make sure he can get up at 5 and make it into the office. And no matter rain, sleet, or snow, he was always at work.
He officially retired December 31st. There was recently Donnie Pendergrass Day in Carrboro. What is he doing now that he's not going to work every day there?
Dog sitting my lab. Loves my dog. He's doing a little part-time work at doing some security work. The most fun he's having is just relaxing in retirement with my mom.
Well, Hathaway Pendergrass, we appreciate you being with us and telling us about your dad. I know you're proud of him. And Donnie Pendergrass, nearly half a century as a postal carrier, today's WCHL hometown hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
The year-end carryover sales event is happening now at Performance Subaru in Chapel Hill. If you think you missed the awesome year-end sales incentives when the clock struck midnight on December 31st, you're in luck. The year-end event continues through January only at Performance Subaru in Chapel Hill. During the year-end carryover sales event, leases start at $209 per month, such as a 2015 Subaru Impreza 2.0i Premium for $209 per month. That's right. New Subaru leases start at $209 per month at Performance Subaru in Chapel Hill. We also have finance rates as low as 0.9% on select models. Listen to what Matt had to say about his Performance Subaru experience.
I bought my first Subaru from Performance Subaru and couldn't have been more satisfied with the experience. I worked with Galen Ferboni and his sales manager, Anna Latta, and they were very easy to work with, low pressure, and gave me a great deal on the car I purchased.
Now that's a wow. Visit PerformanceSubaru.com where sales and service specials abound, or visit us in person in Chapel Hill just a quarter mile off I-40. Wow.
E5515 FJF11, 42-month lease with 10K miles per year, based on MSRP of $23,504 and selling price of $22,299 with $2,528 due assignment. Includes tax, tag, and $649 admin fee. $0 security deposit. Dealer retains manufacturer incentives. Financing with approved credit. See dealer for details. Take delivery by January 31st, 2015.
This is Dr. Adam Goldstein with Your Health Radio and the University of North Carolina Department of Family Medicine. Do you worry about getting the care you need because you don't have health insurance? Do you have a pre-existing condition or think you can't afford it? The Affordable Care Act provides individuals who qualify with financial assistance for purchasing health insurance. Open enrollment is now through February 15th, so check out your options on www.healthcare.gov or call 919-545-3440.
Do you enjoy reading, going on walks, baking, or playing basketball with children? If so, you can make a tremendous difference in the life of a child. For more information on becoming a mentor with Blue Ribbon, please contact Granville Johnson at 919-918-2170. Again, that's 919-918-2170. And you can make a difference in the life of a child. Thank you to WCHL for your support of Blue Ribbon Mentor Advocate.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
Congratulations to Jeff Neiman of Hillsborough, who called in with the word of the day. It is phonesthesia, phonesthesia. Sort of like words that sound similar, like slip sliding away. I'll tell you what, ask Jeff what it means. It's kind of a complicated word. But Jeff gets a $10 gift certificate to Cruisers. And let me just tell you that the Carolina Inn is one of only three Forbes four-star rated restaurants in North Carolina. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant is a favorite place for gourmet cuisine right there on the beautiful UNC campus. And they bring you this look at the weather. It's going to be a cloudy, rainy day. Probably some rain in the afternoon. Much cooler temperatures, though. Temperatures are going to stay pretty much where they are right now, which is 38 degrees. And near steady temperatures overnight as well. And then tomorrow, rain likely first part of the day, high in the low 40s. It's 9 o'clock.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL. Chapel Hill Carborough's News, Talk,